God bless you all. I hope the Lord really draws near to you, that you're aware of him being close to you, and that you're blessed this morning through the message. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. Father, we come here today to honor you as we have been worshiping you. Father, help us also to worship you in a way through the message that our hearts are that much more focused and stirred for you. And I pray that you will help each one of us realize that and experience that in our heart today, this morning, in your house. I pray to the Holy Spirit that you will truly present the message, and I pray that it will bring you honor and glory and praise, that your son Jesus will be lifted up high, because you've promised us that if your son is lifted up high, that you'll draw all men unto him. So I pray, Father, that not only in the message, but Father, through the ministries of this church, that in greater ways, that we will lift up Jesus high and that you'll be glorified by it. We ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I did it again. We're looking at A Wonderful Life, a classic movie series. We had finished our series last week, but this really fit with the tie-in between Christmas and New Year's and looking at the movie It's a Wonderful Life. The question is, we have to ask ourselves, if I were to ask you or we were to ask ourselves, is it a wonderful life? Can we say that we have had a wonderful life? Now, be careful, because like in the movie, you know, seeing what substantiates a wonderful life is not always seen. And so we need to be careful to think about that, because God has blessed us all in so many, many ways. Now, for believers, only through Christ, his impact on our lives, the world has been changed, the world has been influenced, and that through Christ, and only in our relationship again in Christ, we can have a wonderful life. Now, we can say people have lived wonderful lives, they have accomplished so much, and we begin to evaluate and look at their lives and say, well, you know, they've had everything. They've had a lot of wealth and success and all the things that the world says defines a successful life. But you might look at someone else that doesn't have very much and say, you know, we've got a solid family. We've got lots of love for each other. We are united. We are blessed in so many ways that are, for the world's perspective, is very simple and very basic, but yet still very essential to having a wonderful life. And yet, we need to go on a step further and say to have a wonderful life is truly for the believer only accomplished in Christ. The truly wonderful life that we will be looking back on, like in the movie, is one that we look at as believers who have yielded their lives to Christ and have lived the wonderful life of Christ living through us. As we acknowledge that, we see the power and presence of God working in and through our lives. And so as we look at the movie, George Bailey learned that his life did matter in spite of the trials, in spite of the troubles he had. And he learned that God had used his life to make a difference for the better in the lives of individuals, for people in his community, as well as in the world. Now, there's a parallel here spiritually in the movie, and that is that Potter is, I'm going to say, represents Satan, the destroyer, and let's say that George Bailey is the individual Christian who is doing his best. Let's just put it that way, doing his best. So I want us to look at this clip from It's a Wonderful Life just for a moment, and then we'll go on.
So this baby Potter?
No, I'm not sure I'm going to hang anymore. All I know is this should be better, Park. It's a part of the house. We want to get a bedroom.
Your brother, Harry Bailey, broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. Mistake it would be to throw Yes, George?
Where's Mary?
Oh, well, I can't.
I don't know how you know these things, but tell me, where is she? If you know where she is, tell me where my wife is.
I'm not supposed to tell.
Thanks, Clarence. Tell me where she is.
You're not gonna like it, George.
Where is she?
She's an old maid. She never married.
Where's Mary?
Where is she? Where is she? She's just about to close up the library!
We have to understand that, just like in the movie clip, George Bailey's life affected so many others. When we understand that our lives affect people more than what we realize, as just people, we can't help. We live in a world, we live in families, we live in communities. Our lives do touch other people's lives more than we realize. And even more importantly, as we follow Christ, our witness and our testimony as Christians affect people's lives for Christ more than we realize. When I pastored my first church, when I left that church, as God led me on, people were coming to the house while we were loading up the U-Haul and coming in and just sharing with Kathy and I what the ministry that God had us do there, how God used it to minister to them and to change them and to touch their lives. But before we packed up the move, we had no clue. And so we really don't understand how God uses our lives to impact those that are around us, those that we love, those that we know, and even those that we don't know. But as a Christian, we should hope and pray that as we yield ourselves to God and follow Him and live for Him, that our Christian witness, example, demeanor, countenance, if you will touch people's lives in ways that we don't realize. And so no matter what we face in life as Christians, the challenge is what we do with what we face in Christ. The challenge is, are we yielding to God? Are we surrendering it over to God? Are we walking with God? Are we allowing God to walk with us? I mean, I say that in the picture of the fact that God is always with us, but we have to be able to, in our own heart and mind, in our own resolve, to say, you know, you're right here with me. I recognize you with me, which is a great acknowledgement. And two, I'm going to keep myself close to you as close as I can and go through whatever challenges that lie ahead. And so in that, we bear a testimony to a wonderful life because not of its accomplishment per se, but of the witness that God uses us for His glory. I mean, one of the guys at Convalescent Home that likes pizza a lot, I'm not going to mention his name. We go in there, he's bedridden, we go in there and we sing, he always loves us, go in there. What's the song he likes us to sing? Amazing Grace? Is it?
Old Rugged Cross.
Excuse me. So we always sing Old Rugged Cross. And he's a fairly young man. But you know what? His faith is consistent, even though basically he's bedbound. And every time we go in there, we're blessed by him, his countenance, his faithfulness. And I could give you a testimony of so many faithful Christian people who have gone through tremendous trials, tremendous situations, and even, like I said, even in their last, like in convalescent homes. I can remember Sarah Clary and walking out of her room and her saying, I love you, and I said, I love you too. Last words. But you could sense the presence of God in the midst of our conversation and in our room, and that was because of how she embraced God through whatever challenge she was going through. So whether we're going through difficult challenge or whether we're going through a time in our life where things seem to be bountiful and overflowing with blessings, it's absolutely imperative that you and I make the decision to walk through those times, good and bad, whatever they are, or even mundane, walking with Jesus. Because when we're walking with Jesus, He's doing His work in and through us in ways that we don't know, that affect people all around us, those that we know, those we know love, and those that we have no clue that are watching. And so, as believers, we bear the name of Christian. And Christian means Christ follower. And it's not just a title that I'm not Buddhist, or I'm not Muslim, or I'm not atheist, or I'm not agnostic, or I'm not of this faith or that faith or whatever. that, you know, making the declaration when you're at the hospital, what's your religion, so that if someone wants to come, if chaplain wants to come in and talk to you, whatever, we need to know what faith-based you are. But when we bear the name of Christ, we're bearing the name of Christ not for the sake of saying that I'm a Christian, but for the sake of saying I live with Jesus. That's what bearing the name of Christ is. It's not marking it down on paper. It's living it out in Christ. And when that happens, we can see God work through us in ways that truly are wonderful, in ways that we don't expect, because it's the power of God that's working in and through our lives. And so as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. And if we bear the name of Christ with an earnest conviction, with absolute hands down, all the way in, committed to God, that type of conviction, our life story can reflect a wonderful life, because it will reflect Christ living in through in and through us, doing his work for his glory. That will affect friends that we know, family that we have, community we live in, and those even that we don't know. And so it's not the impact that we make on the world around us or our successes that makes us have a wonderful life. Now hear this. What's important is our eternal perspective that makes it a wonderful life. Now what I mean by that is this. If you and I live as Christians who bear the name of Christ, with Christ in the forefront of our life, following him, loving him, serving him, being the people he's called us to be in whatever challenges, circumstances, or whatever we are in life, wherever we are in life, then we start to evaluate what's really a priority in life and what isn't. We start to evaluate our decisions based upon eternal purposes, or based upon our relationship with Christ, or based upon what God wants us to do, or what God is leading us not to do. We start weighing things out differently than we would if we were not walking with Christ. And so to have an eternal perspective will really, truly define a wonderful life, because we'll be able to look back and say this one thing that so many cannot say. I lived my life with purpose that brought glory to God. When we have that assurance, it's not like we're saying, what was that all about? And so eternal perspective is of a greater value than the impact. Because it's not the impact that we're seeking glory from. It's the fact that we've walked with that eternal perspective that God has worked through us to impact others for his glory. In Philippians 3, 7 through 14, it says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's an eternal perspective. That's not weighing the things of the world to our value as our value system. It's taking the eternal perspective, the focus that God wants us to have, and lining our life up according to the value that God has placed on our hearts through his word and by his spirit, which are always working together in harmony together. And so verse 13 says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." I love that. We're looking at the new year. Reach toward the things that are ahead. But if we reach toward the things that are ahead, from God's perspective, life becomes rich no matter what the challenge is. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. Because we're in that place where we're close to God, we're in God's will, we're focused on Him, and He's doing His work His way and for His glory. I love the fact that God encourages you and I to forget the things which are behind. In other words, not to allow the baggage of the past to hold us back from being what God has called us to be. Not to allow what has happened in the past to keep us from reaching toward the high calling of Jesus Christ on our lives. That's the prize, the high calling. What is the calling? And you might say, well, you know what, you're a preacher. That's your high calling. Well, yeah, that's part of my high calling. But every believer in Christ has the high calling of Christ on them. They have the high calling of living a wonderful life with Jesus and letting Jesus walk and work through them in such a way that He brings glory to the Father. And even though in some ways we might think in our own carnal ways that that's an insignificant matter, it's one of the greatest matters that we can embrace. Because when our lives do just that, reach toward God's purpose for our life, it brings God the Father glory. But we can look back over our life and we can go, I saw God working. I saw God doing things in my life as I look back. Or we might say, as we're going through life, I can see, feel, recognize the presence of God working through me now as I hold on to Him and His perspective that He has for me to embrace. And so I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If Jesus had not been born, as we celebrated the birth of Christ, we would not have an eternal perspective. We all have an opportunity to have that perspective. We all need to decide whether God's perspective is of great value, that we want to govern our lives by His perspective. But if Christ had not been born, we would not have that perspective. We would not have the hope that God has given us. We would not have the relationship that God has with us or wants with us as we follow Him. George Bailey would not have learned that God used his life for good. George Bailey would have been as wicked as Mr. Potter, the one who represented Satan. Because without God, we are lost and doomed in sin. We are in a position that is a bad place to be. Let's put it that way. A position that does not honor God. And so George Bailey would have been like Mr. Potter, without hope and without eternal security in God. If Christ hadn't been born, we wouldn't have eternal perspective, eternal relationship, or eternal purpose. And eternal, remember, it's not the hereafter. In the sense that I'm focusing, I'm saying living now. We've gained eternal life the moment we ask Jesus into our heart. And as we live in that new life in Him, it continues on for eternity. Oftentimes we think that our eternal life starts when we start in heaven, in the presence of God. But our eternal life started when we asked Jesus into our life. And it continues on. It just continues on. Ephesians 2:2-5 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It's simply by the very love, grace, and mercy of God that we have been saved from being under the wrath of God, the punishment of God for our sin for all eternity. It's by the mercy, love, and grace of God that we have been forgiven. It's by the mercy, grace, and love of God that we have, again, that relationship with Him. An opportunity to develop that relationship with Him. An opportunity to evaluate and guide our life based upon His priorities, His purpose, His plans, based upon His word as a plumb line for our life. We have that opportunity. And if we take that opportunity and we live that opportunity, we will look at our life and say, it has been a wonderful life. Because there are those that have said at the end of life, they've said, I've worked so hard, I've done this and this, but you realize all that stuff doesn't matter when you're at the line. Because you can't take it with you. What matters is our relationship with God and what God wants to do in and through us. If Christ had not been born, there would be no hope for mankind. How tragic. If Christ wasn't born, there would be no hope. You and I as believers have hope. We carry that message of hope. We are the reflection of that hope as we live and walk with Christ. Because as we live and walk with Him and we embrace the challenges or whatever lies before us with God's perspective, people will see God in us. And it'll shed light. And for many, it will bring hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 through 19, for the dead do not rise when Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable or miserable. If we only believe in Christ this side of heaven, but not for all the eternal purposes and all the eternal promises that we have, we're living the Christian life in vain or futility or in stupidity, foolishness. Christian faith would be a foolish faith if Christ had not been born, if Christ had not risen from the dead. So what would life be like if Christ was not born? Here's the list of things. Mankind would be dead in sin, would be following the world's ways, would be following Satan, ruled by the flesh, deserving of punishment, and separated from Christ. And separated from Christ. He was born that we have just the opposite, that we might have life in Him, that we would follow His ways, that we would follow Him, that we would be led by the Spirit of God, the very presence of God, that we would not be under a position of punishment for our sin, and we would not be separated from God. God created everything, we know that, and everything is sustained by the hands of God. If God wasn't sustaining everything, everything would fall apart. And again, the science project of the laminin? I think it's the term, or lamin. It's a little molecules that hold together solid objects. Scientists have found, and these little molecules look like the cross with Jesus on the cross. And it's a testament scientifically that says, without these molecules, things fall apart. But the molecules represent Christ. It's a picture of Christ. The molecules look like the cross with Christ on it. And God holds everything together. And if we were separated from God, we would not have the blessings that God has given to those that are lost and to those that are saved. For He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Without the birth of Christ and His impact on the world would be gravely different. George Bailey, what happened when he jumped in the river? Y'all know the movie? Now, first of all, y'all, do you all know the movie? Okay, and he jumped into, and the Clarence the Angel gave him his wish, said, okay, you've never been born. He goes back and he sees what life was like. And he saw that things were different. Things were horrible. Things were not impacted by what God had done through his life, even without his knowledge. Without George representing Christ in the world was a much darker place. George represents the Christian believer. Without Christians in the world of darkness, the world would be a darker place. Without God in our lives would be a dark place. Without God's influence on the world and society and history in the future, our world would look drastically different. For example, International slave trade would still exist. Abortion numbers would be higher than ever, ever conceivably known, an inconceivable number. Education would be greatly diminished. In the early, in just in America itself, that in the early colonial Puritans, they started 122 Christian colleges in America and institutions. Here's what Harvard, what their basic principle was for their college, their university, as a Christian university at the time. Quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life." John 17:3, unquote. The main focus, they had it together, they got it right. Look, you're going to get all this education, but you better understand the main focus is your life in Christ Jesus. That's eternal perspective. That's understanding that, that perspective can have humongous impact on our lives and through our lives, a humongous impact on the world around us. In fact, with few exceptions, before 1860, majority of scientists, they sought to bring God credit for the discoveries that God allowed them to discover. Their goal was to find out through science truth, but to bring that truth to honor God. Isn't that cool? If Christ had not been born, compassion and mercy would be far less, would it not? If we didn't have Christ born, compassion and mercy would be far less. For instance, look at the Christian organizations. Many Christian organizations alleviate suffering. There's Samaritan's Purse, the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, World Vision, Habitat for Humanity, hospitals, and so many other Christian organizations would not exist. You get the picture? This world would be so dark because Christ and his light would not be present in the world. You and I, as that light, as the salt of the earth, as the light in the world by Christ living in us, have an impact. You have an impact as a believer. You carry the name of Christ if you are a believer in Christ, but how you and I carry that name of Christ depends upon our perspective of life and how we weigh our life up against God's priorities and perspective for life. And it makes a big difference. That's why all these great things have happened in our world because of Christian faith. In fact, the face of literature and music and art in the world would change greatly if Christ wasn't born. We would not have had the great works of Leonardo da Vinci or Diego Velázquez or Donatello because of Christ. George Bailey's perspective changed because God's intervention happened through the angel Clarence. As untheologically sound that is, It was because of the picture that God had intervened. God has intervened. He sent his son, and he was born, and he died, and he rose. But what we do with Christ in our life makes the difference in the world that we live in. In our own little world, in our own families, in our own relationships and work, our own universe, if you will, and that at large as well. The earnest believer in Christ who seeks to follow him discovers new and eternal perspectives in life. What happens when we shift our focus on God and eternal values based against that of worldly values? What happens? Values in our life change. Defining success in our life changes. Personal self-worth changes. Divine perspective changes our purpose in life. If Jesus Christ, the Lord, had not been born, our world definitely would be darker. That whole thing with George Bailey going back and not have been born was a dark place. And God has given you and I a great privilege. Not only the greatest privilege of being saved and knowing him, but a great privilege to represent him as Christians in the world that we live in, again, to be that light. If Jesus had not been born, we would not be able to let go of our past, nor see God define our future. God wants us to let go of our past in and through him. And he wants us to see our life as he defines it, as we follow him. And that's a great, great joy. So many will say, because of my past, I can't be, fill in the blank. God says, forget the past. You are a new creature made in me. And I've given you new life. And he wants us to walk in that life in him. We can all praise God the Father that Jesus, his son, was born. And we're called to walk in this light. And we're called not to live in spiritual darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Because Jesus lives, we do have hope in a future. We do have the wonder of Jesus and all eternity ahead. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We are never, ever to draw the line and say, I am done pursuing the upward call of Jesus in my life. Never. We are never to assess for ourselves as Christians, I've done it all. I've gone to church. I've done Sunday school. I've done this. I've witnessed here. I've done that. And outside the church, inside the church, wherever way I can, I'm done. I've done my part. We are never called to say we've done our part. We are all called to continually pursue the high calling that God has placed on our life. And I have to say, there's no greater calling than God's calling on your life and my life. No greater calling. And all of us have been called, whether we acknowledge that or not, as believers. Let's watch this last scene from the movie.
Yeah!
It's interesting, isn't it? How life changes through different perspective. He was so excited. He didn't care. He realized they knew his name, that he was bleeding, that Juju's tulips were in his pocket. He was thrilled to see his kids, to see his wife. He blessed Harry Potter. He went and he was jumping for joy. Isn't it great? I'm going to jail. They must have thought he flipped. But see, the world must think that we flip when we see life's perspective through God's eyes, because it's different than what the world would think. And when we know that we are looking at life with that perspective, with God's plumb line, then we know that we can look at our life and say, what a wonderful life because of Jesus in my life, because of Jesus working in and through my life. And we have that wonderful privilege of that blessing. No trials in life matter to him because he saw the blessings that he had in life. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, right? Compared to the fact that he had a life and people who loved him most, he looked at what was really important, like I was saying earlier. Some will say, I've had a great life because I have so much success. Others will say, I have great success because I have loving family. I have good health, or whatever that might be. We see our values through God's eyes. As Christians, we must be grateful for the life that God has given us. If anything, God's given us life. And we're to see our life as an opportunity to affect other people for the good and glory of God. That God has called you and I to a high calling as Christ bearers, as the light in the world, as those who uphold the name of being a Christian to affect other people's lives in a good way that brings glory to God. As Christians, we're to be grateful for Christ being born, and we are, aren't we? And what that meant for us in the world. Because without Christ, the world would be different. Without Christ, you and I would be different. Without Christ, we wouldn't have the friendships that we have, the relationships that we have, because so many of them are tied in Christ. Like George Bailey, embrace the new year with a renewed and eternal perspective. Live your life with God's perspective. Embrace this new year with that perspective. And see how your perspective may change. See how your joy might be greater than expected. See how God uses it for his glory. Let's go to the Lord. Father, you have given us life. You've created us. You've created us, each one of us, for you and your glory. In particular, Father, as believers in Christ, you have blessed us because we know you. We know that we're saved. We know that what eternity holds, and that we have your promise of spending it with you and with all those that love you. Father, there are people all around us that don't know Jesus as their Savior. They don't have that hope. They don't have that security and that promise. And they need to have that. You want them to have that. You showed your greatest love by sending your Son to die for everybody's sin, that everybody could come to know him and have a right relationship with you. And so, Father, I pray that this new year, that you would place in each of our hearts a greater desire to live our life with God's perspective, with your perspective, in more detail and in more areas of our life and in more ways, that we might see you work and do the things you want to do to bring you glory. Just pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.